Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the latest episode of the Snow White Odyssey. We are about halfway through Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the 1937 Disney classic, and the first Disney animation full length. Of course, we had Steamboat Mickey before that in the 20s, I think.
Steamboat Willie, because his name at the time was Willie, I think.
Willie Mouse.
Willie Mouse.
Why did they not stick with that?
Look at my Willie Mouse.
Oh, I thought it was Steamboat Mickey, but it was based on something else that had been called Steamboat Willie in the past.
Hang on, Steam.
But I'm obviously wrong.
Boat Willie. Just quickly check this out, because if there's one thing that we do pride ourselves on, it is accuracy. And yeah, 1928, the animation Steamboat musical Willie. Steamboat Willie. And yes, Mickey Mouse is called Mickey Mouse in it, as far as I can tell.
What? Is the boat called Willie then?
Must be, yeah.
Fucking hell.
What's your boat called, mate? Willie. Funny name.
Willie.
Well,
as in the cock.
Yeah, I named it after me cock, didn't I?
Well, that's because of the big fucking steam pipe in the middle of it.
It looks like
a cock.
It's
about as big as mine is.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Now, get out of the way of my fucking canal path.
Yeah, do you want to get on it or what?
Mickey Mouse steers a steamboat down a river. This is the description of the film.
Is that it?
He entertains his new passenger, Minnie, by playing music out of the menagerie on the boat.
Ooh. It's just fucking car share. That's what that is.
Yeah, he just gets these animals to play tunes. Yeah. Oh, we'll do a deep dive of that at some point, I'm sure. But for now,
why not?
This is the first full-length colour Disney extravaganza movie. And boy, what a movie it is too.
I've got to confess I haven't watched any more of it since last week. I'm going to try and do instinctive deep diving.
Well, more for you, mate, because we're just getting into the big best bit. Have you got it in front of you at the moment?
I've got it in front of me. I can reference it as we go. So, it's kind of like Jedi kind of instinctive deep diving I'm doing.
The thing is, right?
Rather than researching.
Because we've been taking so long to it, I won't bother with a recap, right? You should know.
Nah.
Snow White, they tried to kill Snow White. She's done a runner. The Queen's found out she's still alive. And now we join the Queen, furious, fucking livid, right? Because she's found out that the Huntsman didn't kill Snow White as instructed. And so she's run off through the castle down into a secret rat-infested basement. And that's where we join her now. Now, this sequence with the Queen going into her dungeon is an amazing bit. Now, she's got her ornate antique box with a pig's heart inside
of it. A pig's heart
that was presented to her, a Snow White's heart. But it was a lie by the Huntsman.
A fraud heart.
Yeah. Now... Oh, she's chucked it across the room. She's that pissed off about the whole
thing. There's some rats there, isn't there, as well?
There's a load of rats in the hanging cellar. Around. Oh, annoyingly, I can't hear what she's on about. Hang on a sec.
I've got the subtitles on.
Here we go.
The heart of a pig, she says, and she chucks it. The blundering fool. Oh, there's a crow.
Yeah, you know. Well, the crow becomes quite important to the plot because the crow's like her mate. He's her mate and sort of, you know, he does whatever she says. He helps her out. He's like Terry McCann to her Arthur. Think of the crow like that. Right. Now, she's got a, what's extraordinary is, mate, she's got a Bunsen burner. She's got, what she's got is a chemical lab down in this basement, right, that she makes potions and spells in. But the,
well, everyone needs a hobby, yeah.
The rig she's got, considering this is 1938, is, well, it was made in 1938, but presumably it's set in a far more distant historical time, right? It looks like medieval, doesn't it? They're all living in castles and all that. There's dwarves running around. It's got to be, you know, what, 1600s maybe? Anyway, she...
1620.
Yeah. She's got this rig up, and the crow and the rats are down there, and she's got a Bunsen burner. I was astonished because I didn't think... I can't remember how much we've talked about Bunsen burners on Top Flight Time Machine. Instinctively, it feels like the sort of thing that we would have devoted a lot of attention to in the past, but I don't know because obviously we forget everything we've said. But Bunsen burners are obviously fantastic. I've always wanted a Bunsen burner at home. Mm. We did talk about them because we... Oh, no, soldering irons.
It was soldering irons we covered.
The two things, they're both staples of school science labs, aren't they? Mm. And really what you always want is to recreate a school science lab at your own rig, right? You start with a Bunsen burner and some solder, then you move on. A soldering iron and solder, you move on to Bunsen burner and glass flasks, which is what the Queen's
got. She's got all that, hasn't she? Yeah.
Don't know where she would have got it from.
Test tubes, the lot.
Don't know where she would have got it from, mate. Like
Amazon?
Halfords? Hello. Halfords.
I don't think Halfords do chemical stuff, no. Argos?
Do you have Bunsen burners? No, this is Halfords. We're more like, we can sell you a car battery or some speakers.
Yeah.
Oh, not Bunsen burners. No, this is more cars and bikes. Yeah, but I mean, a Bunsen burner's applicable to anything, isn't it? You can use it in any situation. I'm pissed off now. You're being unhelpful.
Have you tried Argos? Yes, I've tried fucking Argos. Argos have only got them little sets for kiddies, you know, the chemistry sets. Yeah.
I need a fucking grown-ups one, right? You know what I've got on the go here? I'm creating a fucking poison to kill my stepdaughter with, right? I'm not going to be...
That's too much.
I can't do that with a fucking kiddies experiment set, right? This is proper stuff I'm up to here, right? I've got my crow here. He's helping me out, right? I've got the old setup. All I need now is the Bunsen burner. Argos ain't got it. Now Alfred's ain't got it. Where do I turn next?
Have you tried Maplin's? Maplin's?
Maplin's, Maplin's shut down, you dickhead. Didn't they? They fucking shut down everywhere.
Maplin's
right?
went to the fucking broke. Wall. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, because they weren't selling fucking Bunsen burners. Someone's missing a trick. All right, well, listen. Now, fair enough, I've taken up enough of your time. I know it's not your fault, mate, but, you know, maybe pass it up the line to management.
Yeah, have a word with them upstairs. Just let them know. A bit of feedback.
And listen, right, if you could not spread it around what I told you about my poisoning plot that I've got on the go here, I'd appreciate it. I was ranting. I weren't that serious about it anyway. I mean, I do have a crow. That's the truth. I do have a crow that works for me. But the other stuff I was just mucking about mainly, so just sort of almost forget this conversation ever happened, if it's all the same to you. Okay, sir. Okay, madam. Right, so she makes this potion, and she's... Oh, my God.
I'm watching her doing it. She knows what she's doing as well, doesn't she?
She knows what she's doing. It's very much like Breaking Bad. She's got a red drink. She pours some water into it. It turns green. And then some smoke emerges from the drink. It fizzes up and it emits a smoke. And the smoke turns into a sort of a ghost, a screaming, scary ghost that floats in a cloud across the room. Fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm just at that bit now,
And then you're like, what the fuck's she making here, right? She holds the goblet of this potion above her head. The wind starts blowing, a storm brews up, the crow starts shitting itself, lightning strikes the air. Now the green potion is bubbling, and it seems to me that she's gearing up to drink this stuff, right? Mm. And I'm thinking, you're mad. all because Snow White, a mirror told you Snow White was prettier than you. So she's on, fuck it, I'm drinking it. She's down the potion. Everything goes blurry. It's all psychedelic. It reminds me loads of when, you know, when Jim and what's his name took the acid in. No, they ate those magic mushrooms in Neighbours.
Yeah.
It's basically like that.
Has she made acid?
It's psychedelic. And you don't know what is real and what's just happening in her brain. But she's gone on a mad psychedelic trip. Everything goes blurry. The colours are all mad. It's like a kaleidoscope of colours. Her hands turn into claws like the Emperor. And then suddenly, it all comes down and she's transformed herself into what can only be described as an old crone.
Exactly. Exactly the words I would have used.
And at this point, we're not sure why she's done this. But this is the state of mania that the Queen has been driven to by what
we
the mirror
said. We can't second guess this. We can't second guess what she's about to do because she's just on a different level.
A mirror has spoken to her and said, listen, mate, you're a good-looking lass. But I've got to say, you're not the best in the old land because that is your stepdaughter who's much fitter than thee. And bad news for you. Is contrary to what you've been told by a huntsman. She is very much not dead. She is, in fact, living with some fucking dwarfs up the woods, right?
You might want to have a closer look at that heart you've got in the box there. I can assure you, it is not that of a small girl.
Now, I've said my piece. Like, what you do next is your business. How you respond to how you absorb this news and then respond to it is totally up to you, right?
I've said too much. My job is merely to reflect and advise on beauty.
That's the thing about mirrors. We just
analyzing hearts.
We are impartial, right? So she's just gone. Her immediate response is, right, fuck this. I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to make a big fucking poisonous potion. I'm going to drink the cunt. And it's going to turn me into an old crone, right? That's step one of my plan. Mm. You're thinking, where's this going? She's quite terrifying. She's all warty-faced, mad, bulging eyes, big nose, and the crow absolutely freaks out when he sees her. He screams. I mean, we're no fans of crows on this show anyway, and you'll soon find out that this crow is a right cunt, right? He's very in keeping with all of the crow stereotypes.
I thought he was a bit of a soft crow when he screamed, when he saw her. I thought he'd have seen much worse in his time, dealt with worse.
He's a coward, but all bullies are. Crows are bullies, mate.
Yeah,
and what do we know about bullies? They're cowards, ultimately.
They're cowards, yeah.
Right, he preys on the weak, like baby lambs in a field, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But if it's just him, if it's come on top for him, like his mistress has turned herself into a scary old crone, he absolutely bricks himself, like all bullies do in those sorts of situations. Question is, now she's turned herself into this baddie, what's she going to do?
All right, do we find out? Nope, right. we go back to the cottage with the dwarfs in.
Oh, she's got her book
Snow
out.
White.
You're a bit ahead of me now. She gets a spell book out, right? And she starts reading about various different things that she can...
I see it. Poisoned apple, yada, yada, yada. Eyes will close forever. In the sleeping death. In hell.
It's confusing how extreme she's gone here, right? Because she wants to... She wants to basically put Snow White to sleep forever. Kill her.
This is plan B. She had this in the back of her mind all the time, but she originally thought the huntsman would do the job.
Yeah, now she's like, I'll do it. Now, fine. She's going to do it by poisoning her. But but why has she first got to turn herself into an old crone? It seems over the top. But,
well, if she's going to do the job herself, she needs to deliver the poison... And the poison apple herself, doesn't she? You can't trust anyone else.
I'll tell you one thing. She's overestimating Snow White's intelligence. Because from what we've seen of Snow White so far, she is not the brightest, is she?
She's a fucking idiot.
She's as thick as shit, right? Mm. She's fallen in with these dwarves, which could be dangerous. You don't know if these little bastards could turn on her at any minute.
Definitely.
And the Queen feels as if she has to adopt this very elaborate surprise in order disguise in order to go and surprise Snow White and poison her. But to be honest, it wouldn't take that much. You could just walk straight in there and feed her the poison.
Yeah.
Does give her she a know town that, of that, fucking Fanta.
Does she know that Snow White are in with the dwarfs now?
Well, the mirror said that she was living with the little men in the woods, so she knows where to find her. Anyway, we cut back to the dwarf house, and things are going great for them. They're delighted to have this girl living with them, and they're having a right good dwarf knees up. They've all got the instruments out, all their little dwarf instruments, and they're yodeling. What do you think of yodeling, Andy? Are you a fan of it or not really
bothered?
Oh,
it's all right. Small doses. I don't mind it.
I was thinking about my... it was the anniversary of an old mate of mine who died. A bloke called Piers, one of the funniest blokes I ever knew. And my brother had written something really nice about him on Instagram. Remembering how he was one of these guys who had great catchphrases and jokes that live with you like long after he's died. You remember them in day-to-day life, right?
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about them. And one that I remember other people telling me that he used to do, he would sing high on a pill at an all-night disco, yodeling, if you were going out clubbing or to a rave, high on a pill at an all-night disco, which is a funny lyric in itself, but the addition of yodeling to it I like because it makes it particularly strange and confusing, doesn't it?
It does. I couldn't manage a whole evening of yodeling, though.
No. No.
I'll say that much.
So they're bang up for it. Grumpy's playing the organ and is sitting on a... oh, here we go. I don't know who this is who's come out and sung but doing a little tap dance. But it's one of these setups where she sits there and they're all performing for her because they all fancy her, right? And one by one, they all take it in turns. A bit like when you see the hip-hop kids. The hip-hop kids like to do this, don't they? They'll all be dancing, then one of them will step into the middle and do his own dance move or maybe his own
solo
rap.
Yeah.
That's the sort of technique like that, they're using.
Probably the source of that, actually.
I don't know who this one is. That, do you think that's Happy, that one who just did that?
I don't know.
Dopey's... playing the drums and then making a fucking hash of it, as you'd expect. They're having a great time.
I haven't got deeply enough into it to learn all their names yet.
No. There's a good bit when Dopey does that thing that he used to try and do to get into the cinema to see an 18, where he gets on the shoulders of three other dwarfs, a dwarf tower, and they put on a long overcoat to cover them, so it's just Dopey's head stuck out the top.
Yeah, have you ever done that?
Loads of times.
Cinema.
Yeah, it's how I got into see the Exorcist.
The X Factor,
everything. Yeah.
X-Men.
Any X film.
All them. All the X films.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Jalapeño.
All right, now they're saying tell us a story. It's a fucking weird dysfunctional relationship that's building up between them all. She tells a story, a really sort of quite troubling story about, which she says is a true story, about a princess who fell in love with a man. And they're going, is the princess you? And she says, yeah. And he's saying, What the fuck is she talking about? Who's she falling in love with? Then you realise she's talking about that fella. But let's not fucking forget, this is a geezer who climbed over a wall the day before, yeah, crept up behind her, started singing. She didn't speak to him. She shat herself, ran away. Then she peeped out her fucking bedroom window. He did a bit more singing, and that was it. He fucked off. She's going round now telling the dwarves, oh, yeah, I was in love with this bloke, but fucking now we've split up. Are you fucking mental, love?
45-second encounter, best.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, she's really mad, like super mad. She's going around spreading it that she had a relationship with this bloke. I mean, this bloke might not have even been into. He might have just been an opportunist. He's going along his horse and he's going, aye, an opportunity, yeah? Lovely young lady doing a bit of admin around her well. Might climb over, give her a bit of a sing-song, see if it gets me anywhere, right?
Chance me on, you know. Yeah. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Might actually this, don't ask, don't get.
I don't get any well, move on to the next castle.
I parked up the arse, climbed over, crept up behind her all quiet, and then just started singing in her fucking ear. Well, she apparently jumped out of her skin, and I realised straight away, no, I know types like this. She's uptight, right? I'm not going to get anything out of this one. She's run up. I'll go around, I sang a little bit up to her upper window for a laugh, you know, and then I was gone. Next thing I know, I've heard from some dwarfs I know that she's spreading it around the woods that me and her were in a serious relationship. Now, that's going to cause problem for me with all my other girls, right?
She's fucking touched in the head.
Yeah, she's touched in the head. She's deluded. Don't believe a word she fucking tells you. So that's the story she tells. And then an alarm goes off and she tells them all to go to fucking bed, mate. I mean, can you believe that? She's only just moved in. And she goes, right, it's bedtime for you lot. These are grown men. Let's not forget.
They're not grown men.
They're not grown. Yeah. But they are...
Partially grown men.
They're of age, right? This, you know, we know that Doc has had a rich and eventful life, right?
Yeah, but that's just him. He'll get to stay up late.
And he's like, are you telling me to go to bed? What are you talking about? I've got fucking 8 kids of my own that I know of, right? My oldest kid, right, is in his 50s, right? And he's got a kid who's got a kid. I'm a great fucking grandfather, right? Don't forget, I had my first kid when I was 14 years old, love, right? Which was normal for dwarves in those days, right? Wasn't even weird, right? When I was your age, I had a kid of my own. But things didn't work out. His missus was doing my nutting all the time. So I didn't see much of him until he got older. And then I heard he had a successful business, a dealership, and he was coining it in. So I reached out. I got back in touch because I thought, well, you know, I'm his dad. Surely I should be benefiting from this in some way. And now we've got, you know, the relationship. I wouldn't say it was perfect, but, you know, we're in touch.
A couple of times a year. Yeah, but it's not as close as it could be.
I might pop round with something for the kiddies once in a while, you know, like a gift when I remember, you know. I'll try to remember to send his kiddies a card at Christmas time with, like, you know, maybe a fiver or some dwarf money in it.
Dwarf vouchers.
Some dwarf vouchers you can spend in Halfords. I send them Halford vouchers because kids love Halfords, don't they? You can get out in there. Every year, anything you want. I just say it's easier. I don't know what you're into, but if I just send them 5 quid's worth of Halfords vouchers, then, you know, that's something for them to do in the holidays, isn't it? Go there and have a bit of a spend.
Nice pine fresh air freshener you can hang on the mirror in the car. Kids love that.
Kids love that sort of stuff. They get a real kick out of it.
Doc will do what I used to do when I used to share a bedroom with my brother when we were kids. They'll all go to bed at the same time. He'll wait for the rest of them to go to sleep, then he'll go back downstairs and watch telly for an hour with Snow White.
What?
Yeah.
So who did that, your brother or you?
No, I did.
So you were the older one?
I was the older one, yeah.
Would you do it just to make him think it's all right, we're all going to bed now?
Yeah, because he'd kick off if he thought he was going to bed.
I bet, yeah.
He's probably listening to this now and thinking, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, cunt.
But yeah, we used to go to bed.
Does he still not know this happened?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. He might do. We'd both go to sleep. Well, he'd go to sleep. He'd be out like 5 minutes.
You'd have one eye. And, you'd be like, that's it. Night, night, sleepy boy. Yeah, that's it. Sweet
fucking dreams.
Sweet dreams, dickhead.
I'll go back downstairs because Boone's about to start.
I'll leave you to your shit fucking dreams. Well, I'll be
fucking baby dreams.
Your fucking baby dreams. I'll be downstairs living it up, watching fucking Michael Elphick.
Michael Elphick, Neil Morrissey. The real world.
Having a fucking biscuit and watching Michael Elphick fuck around on his motorbike. Like a real man.
Yeah, exactly. That and more.
That's an interesting technique.
Well, that's it when you've got to share a bedroom with someone. That's what you've got to do.
Yeah.
But, that's what will be going on here, I think. Doc will be away back downstairs to watch fucking The Gentle Touch, probably. Or whatever the 1937 equivalent was.
Doc. Snow White, stay down here. Get it on IDV. Right, on LWT. The Gentle Touch. I'll wait for the others to nut up and then I'll come back down and we'll have a biscuit.
Oh, okay. Well, it's my first night here, but if that's what happens, then yes, okay.
Yeah, bit of fucking Jill Gascoigne, you can't beat it.
I mean, it's our first night. I just told them all to go to bed.
I tell you what, I got on videotape as well. An episode of Cat's Eyes, you know, the spin-off one she did with Leslie Ash.
Also with Jill Gascoigne.
Hey, talking of 80s TV shows, I meant to ask you something earlier today. Nearly texted you about it, but sometimes it's best just to ask you on air. What's the status of Penelope Keith? Is she dead or alive?
I think she's very much alive, yeah.
So what's how's lockdown going for her then? Because she's pretty
Penelope
old.
Penelope Keith?
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, she lives in that big castle, doesn't she?
Well, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me in the least. That's where I imagine.
What was it called? To the Manor Born. She lives in the big house.
She lives in the To the Manor Born house.
I think she got it. You know, like when actors appear in series or films and they take some of the costumes away with them.
Like the Green Cross Code man got to keep his Darth Vader helmet.
He got to keep his costume, yeah. Well, she just carried on living in the house. Squatter's rights, I think it was. She just says, I'm not shifting.
Well,
no one else
what,
was living in it.
It's not Peter Bowles because he lives near me. He lives in Barnes. Yeah. I see him about.
Well, that's exactly it, yeah. I don't know if he still lives in the little house at the bottom of the grounds like he used to.
Nah. No, he lives in Barnes.
He
lived in the big house. She had to live in the cottage. That was the whole point
that's
of the
right,
show.
Yeah.
Because he was nouveau, wasn't he? And she was... like proper posh, but he'd come in with his new money and taken the man house, and she was livid about it. But at the same time, despite herself, she found him powerfully sexually magnetic.
Well, I mean, he was, wasn't he?
Do you think
he'd won that money? He'd won that money in a card game on Tales of the Unexpected,
right?
And he bought the manor. Until
fucking
the
bingo.
The money
I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this. Buy myself a fucking manor house I've had my eye on.
and then, of course, there was that he fell ill and he was in hospital for a while in Only When I Laugh.
Yeah.
But then I think when he got better, he was back to the manor house again.
Do you think he could have played James Bond? Or do you not think
Peter
he was
Bowles?
Quite the right fit?
Nah, fuck off. Nah, fuck off.
You're
that
too
gap
good
between
for
his teeth. Nah. That's not James Bond.
Could you see him, like, with a machine gun jumping out of a helicopter? I don't think he has it in him.
No, he hasn't got the physicality for it. No, he'd gently edge himself out of the helicopter, wouldn't he?
Well, he'd
tenderly,
sort of,
gingerly
he'd glide
get down
out.
The steps.
He'd glide out.
Yeah. Mm. Nah, he's not a man for a James Bond role.
He's more Terry Thomas. He lacks grit.
Yeah.
All right. Just wondering.
He's a bit John LeMessurier. John LeMessurier couldn't be James Bond either, could he?
Probably not. But, you know, you got to remember, Roger Moore is not far away from either of those men. I mean, he's only 5% away from either of them. He's basically...
It's fine margins, though, isn't it, your Bond?
Yeah, he's like LeMessurier or Bowles, but he can do sort of karate. Passable karate, anyway. Not even that good karate, but passable.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess so.
The ones... Of all the Bonds, the one who actually is physical and fights is Daniel Craig, who's the worst Bond, isn't he? Because he's a...
I've not seen any of his Bond. I stopped watching Bond films
bother,
about
mate.
15 years ago.
Don't bother.
He's just shit.
He's an absolute misery guts.
Is he?
Do you know what he is? He's a grumpy goat, right? There's no laughs whatsoever. He's got the ump the whole time. He's extremely violent. He's like always beating people up quite badly.
Oh, right.
He's just annoying. He's annoying.
Is it like the Batman reboot where it's all about darkness and inner turmoil and all that shit?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck that, man. Tim Burton, that's what you want, is Michael Keaton dicking around being Batman, right?
Adam West. Climbing up the side of buildings and celebrities poking their heads out the windows and things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And clearly not walking up the side of the building.
Eartha Kitt. You know the guy who played the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Let's have a look. Lion.
Who played the Cowardly Lion? Bert Lahr. I'm pretty sure he was in Batman as well. I'm just trying to remember which Batman.
Right.
I think he played a Batman baddie. Just quickly check. Bert Lahr. No, doesn't check out.
Well, it was worth a punt, wasn't it?
This is Top Flight Time Machine. It's a podcast in which we go over classic Premier League seasons.
Yeah, it's a football podcast. We're currently going through Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, except we're not.
We're not. We've suddenly got sidetracked by Bert Lahr.
We're Googling stuff live. Thanks for your money.
We're back in the dungeon, right?
All right, okay.
The Queen is now an old crone.
Mm.
Right, this is so funny. She's made a poisonous apple, right? And she's gone wild-eyed batshit. She's got a big wart on her nose, right? And she goes up to this crow helper and she holds the poisonous apple out to the crow. Yeah. And the crow shits itself and backs off. And she just laughs manically and goes, "Ah, it's not for you, it's for Snow White." Talking to a crow, I mean, fucking hell.
Bit of exposition there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's she done? She's dipped the apple in poison. It's like a toffee apple.
Oh, she's explaining in terrifying detail exactly how Snow White will die when she eats this apple.
Right.
She's just said that her blood will congeal, and then she pisses herself laughing. Right? She's so happy with her plan, and then suddenly she goes, "But wait!" And she's realised the flaw. Right, she goes, "What if there's an antidote? Nothing must be overlooked."
Love's first kiss. Dwarfs!
She goes, "Love's first kiss." No fear of that. The dwarfs will think she's dead. So she's already guessed correctly that the dwarfs are in love with her.
Yeah, they'll line up. But it's got to be two-way mutual love, hasn't it? Those
silly cunts think she's dead. Even a dwarf's not going to kiss a corpse, surely.
Well, I don't know.
I've heard they're highly sexed, but come on.
After what I saw in the Dunkow in Sunderland in 1999 when they were doing pantomime, I wouldn't put corpse kissing past them.
She'll be burned alive. Fuck what? Me. She's got all sorts of plans. She's put the poison apple in a basket with a bunch of other apples, and now she's gone down another hatch to an even deeper section of the basement dungeon.
Like, and there's a skeleton.
She's still laughing. Prison. This is. Get ready for my favourite bit, right? There's a skeleton. Look, watch this. That's the funniest bit in the whole film. Because this is, like, the descent of the Queen into utter madness. Like, fucking terrifying, like, insanity, right? You see it going deeper and deeper. And she is walking down these stairs into an even deeper, darker dungeon. And behind a sort of... what do you call it, like some cell, there's a skeleton, obviously a prisoner that she's kept down there who's long since died and now he's just gone bones. And as she walks past it, she sort of stops, does a double take, and there's an old water jug sitting next to the skeleton. And she takes the time out of her evil ploy, right, to taunt this skeleton, right, who is just a skeleton, so it's pointless. And she goes to it, it's really shit bullying, she goes, "Thirsty? have a drink. And then she kicks this jug at the skeleton's head. And the skeleton, all its bones break up. The jug breaks. And she just laughs her head off. She's so pleased with the joke she's made at the expense of some fucking inanimate bones.
Yeah.
That, for me, is the moment that encapsulates everything I love about this film. It's the depiction of unfocused fucking insanity, right?
Yeah.
And the lengths people will go to, motivated only by, like, weird jealousies.
And then she jumps into a little boat. It's like a back cave, really, isn't it?
It's really good, this this is really appealing. When she goes down to the basement, there's an underground river, and she's got a boat in it ready to go.
Yeah.
And she can just sail off wherever the fuck she wants in it.
We'll leave it there because she's about to fuck off in it. We'll find out what happens next time.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up next time. We'll wrap this up next time and do another deep dive starting next week.
All right. Nice one. Thanks for listening, everyone. Join us again for the finale of Snow White Odyssey next week.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're listening to this on Wednesday, which hopefully you will be when it's fresh out of the box, keep an eye on our Twitter because tonight, Wednesday the 20th of May, you, all being well, can watch us do our first ever live streamed event, which is a watch-along of ITV4's rerun coverage of England versus Netherlands from Euro 96. If it goes well, this is just a test that we'll be doing the same with every episode of Minder. But only, only the Ray Daly ones.
Yeah, turn up.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.